time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Hey, guys, 25 Henry. We turned your previous frequency, please.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Coffee Break Hour with myself, Leah, and with Yosef. And we just want to wish you all such a warm welcome. Beloveds, we just pray that you will enjoy this time with us. And this evening, I just ask that you all just stand with us in prayer, because I have been sick for a few days, so my throat is not so good. So we just I just hope that it will make it through the coffee break. But we were so determined this evening, and just inspired by the Ruach, just to have this coffee break and to just say, there's no ways we're not having the coffee break this evening. You know, Yahweh has a word, Yahweh has a message for us, especially as we stand right here, anticipating Yom Teruah on our doorstep, which we are so excited about, the first day of the seventh Hebrew month. And we know this evening we were, you know, looking out for the moon, and we know that it's only due to rise in Israel tomorrow night, but we know that the new moon was due this evening in South Africa, although it didn't rise, so it will probably be tomorrow night, and then we'll be on the same timeline as Israel. But nevertheless, we are standing right before Yom Teruah, right before this special, special time and this beautiful, beautiful day. And that's really on our hearts this evening. So we pray that you will just settle in and rest with us and just enjoy the coffee break with us and just enjoy everything that the Ruach is going to share us all to just be together tonight, and also just to hear what our spirit needs to hear tonight, Yosef. I know that each one of us are in different places and have different needs. And I trust this evening, and I'm believing in Yeshua, that we are going to hear from his voice. So Yosef, welcome to you this evening. How are you doing and what's going on?
Thank you, Leah. I'm doing good, and I'm excited that we are entering into this time of the next festival season. And these are the festivals of Yahweh that are so important, as we have been speaking about so often on the coffee break, where we've come to understand, and where we've come to learn that these are his festivals, these are his appointments, and that we need to make ourselves ready for him. So I'm excited, and tonight, as we just talk a little bit about Yom Teruah and what it actually means for us, I pray that you will begin to get a deeper understanding that, you know, as we have said before, that both the covenants are progressive, so too are Yahweh's festivals. You know, the festivals are supposed to change our lives continually, and we cannot be the same people that we were when we celebrated Yom Teruah for the first time. We cannot be the same people that we were as we celebrated maybe Yom Kippur the first time in our lives. Things have to change, Leah, and we have to start to understand what the Father is doing and what these festivals mean for us as we progress in that covenant teachings or in that covenant lifestyle. Because, you know, when you're saved, Eliyah, the Passover means one thing for you. But as you progress and you begin to keep the Torah, it's only really when you start to read Torah and you begin to understand what is going on in the Torah story that the Passover actually takes on a whole new meaning. And as you do those things, the growth comes. And that's so important. So this evening, I know, Eliyah, that you got your hand up.
Do you remember your first Yom Teruah?
No, I don't. I don't think I do.
I don't either. And I think, Yosef, you know what? I think it is because, and I can only speak maybe for myself or what we've experienced before going into ministry, but I don't remember people really highlighting this day. I know that the Messianic movement, it gets very excited about Pesach and gets very excited about Sukkot. Everyone, you know, goes out from their homes and does certain things, but people don't really highlight this day. And I remember my first Pesach, which I'm sure you can remember your first Pesach. I remember almost all my Pesach festivals. I remember a lot of my Sukkot festivals. I do remember my first Sukkot, but I don't remember my first Yom Teruah. And I don't think that, and I think it's because, like we're going to share this evening, what you have to share with us as well, I don't believe we've put enough emphasis on this day and on this time. And I think it's because the message of this day and this hour and this time is only going to be revealed to its elect people that are really going to hear. So I think that largely in the Messianic community, there's a lot of confusion because this is what's known in Judaism as Rosh Hashanah, yeah, which is the Jewish New Year, which we know is not what Yom Teruah is about. And that came about, obviously, from the Babylonian exile, etc., where the Jewish people changed it, but they still say that it is the head of the year. But still, so the Messianic community, unfortunately, adopts a lot of Jewish things. Now they stumbled into a problem because they know Yom Teruah isn't Rosh Hashanah, but the Jewish people celebrate as Rosh Hashanah. So now what do? And I think that's part of why they don't know the true message of the hour.
Amen. Definitely. And you know, Leah, like you said, that message of the hour is, I believe that, you know, just as it says in the book of Daniel, that seal up these words until the time, the appointed time comes. So I believe, Leah, that Yahweh is giving understanding to these festivals, to the covenants, to the deeper message that is there, to, as you said, the remnant, to the select few that have made themselves ready, that are actually doing what he's asking them to do. And before we pray, Leah, I want to just say this. You know, the festivals, I've said this over, every time that we get to the festivals or when we talk, we say this. And many of you that are listening, you've agreed with us, you've come back and said comments as well, where you've said, hey, you know what, but the festivals are supposed to be lived. It's a lifestyle. It's how we live our lives. And when we get to that point where we begin to understand that the way that the festivals work is to bring about a change in your life. So, for example, Passover is about our salvation. You know, Shavuot is about the Ruach, but it's also about us receiving what the Father wants to give us during that time. And then we have Sukkot about the tabernacles, and it cannot be the same every single time. Because if we have truly allowed, for example, Shavuot to change us and the message for this specific year to come into our lives, then when we get to Yom Teruah, something new should take place. There should be kind of like a birthing process or a new understanding of the message, because the Father is progressive and he is taking us on a journey so that we can become the bride. But not only the bride, he has a message, Elia, of a remnant, a faithful people that will be an army that will prepare others for his return. That's what it's about. And some people will understand this, and some others won't. And this festival, Lilia, is all about that. It's all about those that will be with Yeshua, doing the work of Yeshua, to have a bride that is ready. And we're going to share about that as we get into it this evening. So would you please pray for us so that we can have a good time this evening?
Father, we just thank you so much that we can just join together around your word, but Father, in your presence and in the presence of your Ruach. And Father, we just invite your Spirit in tonight, your Holy Spirit in, Father Yahweh, to just take over. I pray tonight that, Father, we will just be present with you and that we will hear your word, we will hear your message that you have for us during these festival times, Father, where we are coming in to this divine season, Father, that is so sanctified and holy. I pray that we will hear what your word is for us, what your message is, that, Father, we will in this time dream dreams, see visions, hear from your Spirit, Father, about what you're saying to your people right now. Give us the new message that you have. Give us the new revelation, the deeper truths that you want us to hold on to, that you want us to receive, Father, for our lives. We are hungry for you, Father. We are so, so hungry. And I pray that this season, Father, that we are going into of these festivals, Father, that they will radically change our lives, all of us. Father, we thank you tonight. We come with our hearts to you. We pray any burdens that they be surrendered at your feet, Yeshua. Any part of our heart that's not okay, Father, knit together and heal tonight. And Father, have your will and have your way between us. We thank you, Yeshua. We praise you as you are worthy to be praised. We know that these festivals only actually have meaning because of you, Yeshua, and because of what you've done in our lives and because of what you will do. We thank you, Yeshua, and we give you praise tonight. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Leah, there's something that we were talking about, you know, when we were preparing for this coffee break. And, you know, I said to Leah, I said, you know, that one of the most important things today within the body of Messiah Yeshua is that we as the people of his of his presence and the people of his assembly, if you want to put it that way, that we are in step with him, That is one of the most important things for us to understand. And so many people, Elia, turn around and say, oh, but you know, I'm doing what the Father requires of me. I'm doing, you know, the things that I need to do. But the fact of the matter is, I want to be honest with everyone this evening. We need to understand something. You know, we have spoken so many times about the covenants and how that relates to our walk of spiritual maturity. Not only does the covenants relate to that, but also the festivals. So as the covenants line up, so they line up over the festivals. And as we look at it, it's a menorah that brings us into the presence of the King. It's kind of like we need to understand. So, for example, the Abrahamic covenant relates to Passover, for example. But what I want you to understand is that if we say that we are the people of covenant and we are progressing in covenant, and in all the teachings that we've done before, we've said, hey, you know what? You cannot just stay saved. You have to take hold of the commonwealth of Israel. You have to take hold of the covenant that Yahweh gave so that you can be part of that family. So in other words, you have to understand the Torah, and that's the second covenant. But then we also took it further, and we said, but you cannot stay just doing that. You cannot stay just being saved and doing the Torah. You have to progress into becoming a son or a daughter of righteousness, one who inherits. And we said that these covenants are time frames in history. So Yahweh worked for a season with the church, and it was all about deliverance and salvation. Now he's worked another season with the Messianic movement when it comes to understanding the deeper meaning of the Sabbath and the festivals and so on. But now he's moved on into the new group, which is the sons and daughters of inheritance. So if that's what we are saying, then we need to understand that we are living now in the time of the sons and daughters. So therefore, the message that we are receiving as the sons and daughters has to be something deeper, something newer. We cannot be on the same revelation as the old because we've moved on. So that's what I want people to understand this evening. Then you will understand this message clearer. And that Yom Teruah, Elia, is actually one of the most important festivals for the remnant. It's one of the most important festivals for Yahweh's remnant. You know, the church has taught for many, many years that it will be on this day that the rapture will take place, which is not true. We know that the rapture does not occur, but that there is a harvesting of the righteous, of the faithful that takes place. But the church looks at it and says, well, at this blast of the trumpet, we will all be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and the church will be taken away. But if we really look at this whole symbolism of what's going on here, we will get a deeper understanding of what Yahweh is saying to his remnant. So like Elia said, brothers and sisters, this festival is called Yom Teruah. It's not called Rosh Hashanah because it's not the Jewish New Year, but it is called Yom Teruah. And it can fall anywhere between mid-September or the beginning of September to early October. That's more or less where it falls. It also signals the beginning of the end of the holy days that come in autumn. And then 9 days after this feast is the Day of Atonement. And then 4 days after that is the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And then the last feast, which is the last feast of the biblical year. And the Feast of Trumpets begins the autumn feast, what we call the autumn feast. And it says this in Leviticus. Now take note of what it says. It doesn't actually tell us at all the reasons why we need to celebrate this, or it doesn't really stipulate it very carefully. But it says this. It says, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Shabbat commemorated by the blowing of trumpets. Now take note of what it says. It doesn't say by the blowing of the shofar. That's not what it's talking about. It says by the blowing of trumpets. And if you go and look at that carefully, and you go and look at the history of Israel, you'll understand that Israel was meant to make 2 silver trumpets. And that on this specific day of Yom Teruah, it was called the day of the blasting, the day of the trumpet blasting. And they would blow these 2 silver trumpets. It wasn't ram's horn, it was these 2 silver trumpets. And they would blow these trumpets to signify this day. And it's so important that we understand that. And it's to be a holy convocation. It's not a holiday, it's a holy day, right? It's important. And it says, you shall not do any regular work, but you must present an offering by fire to Yahweh. By fire is another cryptic do, right? Of how we're supposed to do this. So he doesn't tell us, but in the wording, it tells us that we need to blow the trumpets, which is teruah, and in the interlinear translated as trumpet blast. It's like a real hectic blowing. It's not just like a boop boop, it's a serious blowing that needs to take place. And also it means the following. It means a shout of joy. This is what the word can mean. It means that it can also be a shout of joy. Now take note of this, or of battle, or the sound of a trumpet. So it can also be the sound that people make to something. In other words, when something takes place, it's the sound that people can make. For example, when you go to war, people would make a shout. They would cry out. Or it can be a shout of joy because of something happening, like the return of Messiah Yeshua. It can be, that's very, very important to understand. So this day is so, so important. And you know, it tells us that the theological word book tells us that the primary meaning is to raise a noise by shouting with an instrument, especially a horn. And in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 7, it refers to the silver trumpets, or traditionally, as some people call it, a ram's horn or the shofar. But we know that it was two silver trumpets. And I want to read to you where that actually comes from. It says this I'll read it to you now. It comes from Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 to 10. And it says the following. It says, make for yourselves two trumpets of silver, of hammered work you shall make them. You shall use them for summoning the congregation and for having the camp set out. When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. If only one is blown, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall assemble before you. When you blow an alarm, the camp shall set out. When convening the assembly, however, you shall blow with sounding an alarm. The priestly sons of Aaron shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be for you a perpetual statute throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feasts, on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a reminder of you before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Now, what I find, Elia, very, very interesting about these trumpets is that, firstly, it was to be made out of hammered gold. Hammered silver. We know that the two cherubim that were on the Ark of the Covenant were to be made out of hammered gold. And it speaks to us about our state of being when we come before the Father. But you know, silver speaks about refinement. It also speaks about repentance. Whenever silver is used in the word, it talks about specifically repentance and ransom, like a ransom that would be paid.
Like redemption.
Redemption. Amen. So it's very, very important for us to understand this. And you know what, when I look at this, Aaliyah, I've come to understand something over the years about you know, the final remnant. And it's something that Yahweh has really taught a long, long time, and it's taken a long time to fully understand. But Yahweh told them specifically to make two trumpets, one for the house of Judah and one for the house of Ephraim. This was a significant picture of the two houses of Israel, and that both of them were ransomed. Both of them were redeemed at a price. And that when the two trumpets come together, it's a shouting, there's a noise that takes place. But these trumpets were also used every time that they went out to war. And it's very important for us to see the symbolism of this, because I truly believe, Elia, that, you know, in the book of John, John cries out and he says, I am not the bride, but I am the bride, the friend of the bridegroom. And everybody stops and says, well, I don't really understand that. I don't understand what is going on here. But when we look at the picture of the two witnesses and what the scriptures tell us, it tells us the following year. It says this. It tells us in the word this. Yahweh said to the sons of Israel, you are my witnesses. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. So he's not talking just to one house. He's talking to the whole house of Israel. And he's saying, you people from the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim, you are my witnesses. You are the two witnesses in my hand, the two branches that become one, the two houses that everybody always talks about. You know, we've had so many teachings of people talking about the two houses and how Jew and Gentile comes together. But the truth of the matter is, it's the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim that comes together, these two witnesses. And it's made up of everybody from all the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why when we read in Revelation about the two witnesses, it talks about that they come from all the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says that there is from every single one, and that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and that they do exactly what he says. And everybody looks at this and goes, oh, but you know, that's the Jews. No, it's not. It is a true picture of what the bride is supposed to be. They are the ones that were just like John. They are the ones that are just like the apostles. They are the ones that are the forerunners, the ones that as these two silver trumpets represent repentance, they have allowed themselves to repent, to be cleaned out. And every time that we get to a festival, I hope this is making sense to you. Every time that we get to a festival, they have actually allowed what the festival means that year and the years before to transform them. So what we see is we begin to see a people that has gone from just being believers into becoming those image bearers. And that's why it's so important, because it says this, and I want to share this with you, that Yom Teruah falls on a new moon always. It's the new moon of Yom Teruah, and it's also both call for the two trumpets to be sounded. So it would be sounded when the new moon was seen. And what's interesting about the new moon is it signifies renewal. It's not a new moon, we know that. It's not like every time Yahweh creates another moon and then takes the old one away. It's a renewal of that which is already there. And you know, this really speaks to me, because I honestly believe that Yahweh is renewing his promises in the lives of his believers. And that those that have gone through the wilderness, like we've been speaking last week, it was for a reason and for a season, so that a renewal can come. So that there can almost be a regrowth taking place in their lives. And it's not everybody, Aaliyah. You know, just this week I was speaking to Brother Micah on Instant Message, and he was saying something interesting to me, that it would be such a small percentage that would make up this group of people, because it's only such a small measure of people that will want to enter in, as we said before, into the place where there is life, the narrow path that leads to life. So we see this group of people, and what it says is this. It says, prophetically, trumpets depict voices, as found in Revelation 1, verse 10. And there's a scripture that says, cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. That's found in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. And like I said, historically, there have only ever been two people groups on earth that have given voice to a testimony about the goodness of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These two groups are both Christians and Jews. Now, that's how people see it, or basically the house of Ephraim and the house of Judah. But I want to take this tonight a step further, and I want you to understand, if you've listened to, for example, the Elijah teaching, the Elijah is the remnant that comes first. Or let me rephrase it. Elijah is the friends of the bridegroom. He is the spirit of Elijah is those who become the friends of the bridegroom. They are the ones that is spoken about in Ephesians chapter 4 that prepare the rest of the people for the soon return of Messiah Yeshua. They are the ones that are the forerunners. They actually the ones that follow the Lamb wherever he goes, like the 144,000. And the reason why they do this is because they have made themselves ready, whereas the rest are still trying to ponder this whole, this whole call. That's why it says in Daniel that there will be some that make themselves ready and others will still have to go through the refinement. So Yom Teruah is actually the time of the blasting of the trumpets, the voice crying out in the wilderness. And it's not only the blasting of the trumpets that signifies the festival, these two silver trumpets, but it's actually the blasting of the voices, that spirit of Elijah that goes out into the wilderness calling all people to repentance. And it will be the friends of the bridegroom going out to them. And you know why I say this is because if you understand a Jewish wedding, then you'll understand what's going on here. Because at the Jewish wedding, when the shofar blasted and the groom had made his house on his father's place, and he had made his bride house, then what would happen is the father would look at it and say, hey, you know what, son, this house is ready. Go and fetch your bride. And he would take his groomsman or his it's not called bridesmaid. There's no such word as bridesmaid actually in the scriptures. It's called groomsman. He would take his groomsman with him, his best men. And they would go with him ahead of him. They would be walking ahead of him into the town, and he would be walking in like the main dog, if you have to put it that way, the guy. He would be ready to come and collect his bride, and they would blow the shofar, the trumpets would blast as a signifying sign that he's now coming to fetch his bride. And then what would happen? They would go and fetch her, and then the celebrations would begin. And I believe, Aaliyah, that Yom Teruah is actually the signifying time where Yahweh is calling his groomsmen ready. He's getting them ready to do the work. You see, we have Yom Teruah, and then we have a gap. There's a gap that takes place until we have Yom Kippur, the Day of Judgment. And I believe that that time from this blasting until Yom Kippur is actually a significant time of the two witnesses, the time of the witnesses that go out, which is made up, as we said, of all the tribes of Israel. But it's two witnesses. It's the true picture of what the bride's supposed to be. Then we have the Elijah and the Elisha. So that's why this is so important. And what's important, Eli, I know I'm wafting on tonight, but it's deep, because the truth of this is that hammered, we are to be hammered. And hammering is a process that takes place by the Father. When we submit to His ways and we submit to Him throughout all the festivals, through a growing process in our life, even through the wilderness like we spoke last week, then we are hammered into becoming that voice that cries out in the wilderness. And these trumpets were hammered by hand so that they could carry the sound of the person that was blowing on them. And it's important, because when we understand that, not everybody, Aaliyah, let's be honest, not everybody chooses to repent. Hmm. The message of Elijah is a message of repentance. Elijah was a man that walked a repentant life, and he walked a holy and righteous life. So that's why Yahweh could use him. And he used him for what? To go to Israel and to say to Israel, listen, you are worshipping Baal. You are doing what is wrong. It is now the time to repent and return. And I believe that Yom Teruah signifies that time where Yahweh is going to take that remnant, and He is going to use them like never before to cause all Israel to repent. Because why? Because Yom Kippur is looming. Yom Kippur is around the corner. Yom Kippur is standing there. And this isn't a matter of, oh, okay, like we said last week, well, I got Elul, I did Elul, I did all my repentance, now I've come to this festival and I'm just going to enjoy it. It shouldn't be like that, Aaliyah. It should be that we live to move and have our being in Him, and that we grow. We shouldn't have to come every single festival repenting. We should come every single festival to learn and to change.
Mm, I think that that's true. And I know that you and I were talking about this not so long ago on our own, that we've got so focused, like I said earlier on in the beginning, we've got so focused on the almost, you know, rabbinic Jewish traditions, which aren't sometimes always bad, but essentially they can be negative for us, because it's not in step with the Ruach and it's not in line with what the Ruach is doing. And so Elul has become this time period which is good, because there needs to be that repentance that takes place, and there needs to be renewal in that, in the forgiveness and in offering other people forgiveness, in receiving forgiveness, which is what Elul is supposed to be about. But we've become so focused on doing that then, you know, that, and that is very much a Jewish tradition. And it's exactly true, as you said, our life should be lived daily in a repentance, and our life should be daily lived where we're looking at ourselves and being cut open about our sin and dealing with ourselves and allowing the Ruach daily to manifest Himself in our hearts so that we can be convicted. We shouldn't wait for certain periods of time. I truly do believe that we've missed out on a lot of truth about this festival and about this time, because we've looked back at tradition and custom, which hasn't been always in step with the Ruach. And I don't believe that Elul should be a time of just repentance, but it should be a time of great expectancy. It should also be a time of excitement and a time where we fully get to know Yeshua for who He really is. And it shouldn't be a time of fear. And I know that it's about this calling and awakening. And we should think of that calling and awakening as people as a good thing. Because of Yahweh's love for us, He wants to call us to awaken and to arise. And He wants to call us to the revelation of His Spirit and of His truth and what He wants to do upon the earth. So I know that this time period, exactly like you're saying, is very much about the remnant, and it is about receiving the message that the Father has in this season. Because it should be that every season we receive a new message from Him, because every time He's going to do something new, the Father is always doing something new. He's not never ever stagnant, or He never stagnates in any way. He's always doing something new. So my prayer for the season for all of us is that we will be able to receive whatever His message is today for our lives on this Yom Teruah. This message is that He wants us to receive and that He wants us to know for the future and for the days ahead and for our own lives. I pray that we will receive that, because He wants to speak and He really wants to minister and move in our hearts. And it's not always possible that we're going to be gathered together to receive that. But right where we are, the Father can share with us and he can speak to us. And this really is a time where he's going to speak to his remnant,
Amen.
Where he's going to give a word for us in season. But I believe he's going to do that. Some of us may receive a personal word, a personal moving in our hearts and for our ourselves or our lives. And others may receive something that's going to be affecting the entire body. So I pray that we will really be present in that, just to be where we are, to know that the Father wants to move and speak to us. And as he says, these are his appointed times where he wants to meet with us, these beautiful anniversaries. And I pray that we will just be present in them. And so I want us to go to our first song this evening. And it's a beautiful song called Hunger. And as we listen to this song, I just really pray that this song will just move you and that it will really, really speak to your heart and that it will be something that touches you and just a prayer from your own heart. So enjoy the song and we'll see you when we get back.
This world could never satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, when all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate.
you still be desperate? Ah. After all these years, yeah. Can you still be longing? Woo! After all these years, oh, I'm still longing. After all these years, I want more. I want more. I want more.
When I was just a teenager, a wonderful discovery. I remember that moment when heaven came rushing in. Heaven came rushing in. 40 years later, I'm still going strong, running after Jesus, singing my song, 'cause I'm still hungry after all these years.
You know what? I just love that song and just what he says. Just, can you still be hungry after all these years? And can you still have that desperation after all those moments and all those times? So welcome back to the Coffee Break Hour. And we really pray that you have been enjoying this time with us. And Yosef wants to just share something very quickly regarding Yom Teruah and what he was sharing about. And yo, I'm just so expecting that the Father is just going to minister to our hearts this evening. And I really just feel that that's what he wants us to know this evening, that he's just totally with us in everything that we find ourselves in. And I just praise him for that. So Yosef, continue what you were saying.
You know, Leah, that song really ministers to my heart every time I listen to it, because it's truth. You know, there's so much truth in what that song says, in the fact that that's how it should be. We should have a constant hunger for him. And it's just, yeah, it blows my mind, because I think so often we talk about this. But the truth of the matter is, if you've never really had a life-changing experience with Yeshua, then you will never truly hunger for that again. You'll always be getting second best. And that's why one encounter with him, one life-changing encounter with him, will really cause you to hunger. And that's why that song, for me, speaks truth, because we are to hunger and thirst after him continually. And desire, it's not the experience, but desire him. Desire those times of intimacy with him. So, you know, we were talking.
Sorry, yes. And just to add, you know, once you have that desire, and once you have that encounter with him, you see everything else through that lens. So every time you want to come to worship, or you want to come to be with him, you just continually see what you're experiencing through that lens of, is it as good as it was when I really, really experienced him? And then that creates that hunger, you know, just wanting to just be in his presence again. And that's really my prayer, what I believe for this camp that we're going to have in November as well. I really believe that it's on the Father's heart. I really believe it's because he wants to come rushing in, that he wants to be with us and he wants us to encounter him, and that we can see the rest of our lives through that lens of just pure intimacy and just being in his presence. So yeah, Yosef, go for it.
So we were talking about Yom Teruah, and one of the important things that I really wanted to just share with you, two things, is the following. Is that what we need to understand from all of this is that Yom Teruah is to be the time where, by the Spirit, I believe this is the time where, by the Spirit, that Ephraim and Judah, that they will be empowered. Why? Because from Shavuot already will be the time where they actually received that spirit. And that's why it's so important, Aliyah, that when we get to the festivals, that we don't just let the festivals pass us by. So often people come to like a festival like Shavuot, and they come there, but they leave empty. When we come to Shavuot, we need to understand that Shavuot is about getting filled so that we can become the witnesses for the Master in the time that He wants us to. And that's why it's so important. Because the true remnant, in other words, you know, just as in the days of Rav Shul, he cried out and he said that today in Romans, he says, today, if you hear Yahweh's voice, don't harden your hearts. And then he goes on and he says that there was a remnant in the days of Elijah. So too today, there is a remnant. And so too today, in our time, there is a remnant. So many are called, few are chosen. And there will be a remnant in this generation that will truly understand. And they will be the ones, Aliyah, that Yahweh's Spirit will be within, and Yahweh's Spirit will be poured from without. And they will go and they will proclaim the word. And that's why the two trumpets are so important, because it's made out of hammered gold and hammered silver. And what that means is that by the hammering, those trumpets were made into a perfected piece, into a piece that was beautiful, that could be put onto the lips of the priest, and the priest would blow those silver trumpets. And not only was it blown when they were doing the festivals, but it was also used when they went to war. And if you've listened to the teaching on the gatekeepers, then you will know that it was Pinchas, the righteous man, the righteous person who went out to war. And when they went out to war, they went out with 1,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, making 12,000. And that's a type and foreshadow picture of the 144,000 going to war. And what do they go with? They went with instruments, but they took the two silver trumpets with them, because that's what Yahweh commanded when they went to war. So I hope that you're beginning to see the picture. And not only that, but it also says this. The trumpets of Teruah are made of silver, or it's called kisef. And this word comes from kasaf, which is a root word that can be translated as longing. Those who truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who truly desire to go deeper, are those that are exactly like it says here in Psalm 84 verse 2. My soul longed, and that word longed is kasaf, and even yearned for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh sing for the joy of the living Elohim. You see, Aliyah, there's not a lot of people that really live their lives like that. There's a lot of people that say, hey, you know what? I hunger and thirst for Yahweh, but when push comes to shove and you truly have that meeting where you get together and you want to pursue the presence of Yahweh, you start to see how people begin to leave. You start to see how people begin to sit down in their chairs, open up their Bibles, and begin to read the scriptures. And you wonder, what's going on? Why are you reading the word of Yahweh when Yahweh's presence is here that you can encounter? And it's almost as if people shut off. There's only a few. Genuinely, there's only a few people that today that really are seeking after Yahweh. And that is what this festival is about. It's about being ready when He comes, but it's also about seeking Him. Because if we don't get it right, when the books are open, Aliyah, and when judgment comes, you might find yourself on the side of the dead instead of on the side of the living. We need to pursue Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. There is a time now that is changing. It's no longer, and I've said this so many times, I want to say it again tonight. It's not about how much you know. Yes, there was a time where we studied. Now it's about the fact of, do you carry the presence of the Master on your life? Mm-hmm. The enemy is going to know who is the one that has the seal, the mark of Yahweh upon him. And that mark that is upon a true servant of Yahweh is not only the Shabbat and the festivals. You know, the Jewish people keep the festivals. The Jewish people keep the Sabbath. But the true mark of an inheritor is that he has the spirit of Elohim upon them, and they make intercession, as Sudi says. They are going to war in the quietness of their houses and praying and making intercession. A true son and daughter of righteousness, the enemy will know. Why? Because they carry the presence of the Master on them, because they look like the Father. There are so many people today, brothers and sisters, that look like Judaism. There are so many people today that look like their church. There are so many people today that look like their pastors and their rabbis. But there are so few people today that actually look like Yeshua. And that's my heart for you this Yom Teruah. Get to know Yeshua and allow Him to change you in your heart.
I was thinking as you were talking, you know, oftentimes we talk about, you know, does the Father know me? You know, we talk about, we know the Father, but does the Father know me? And we mention that often. But I was sitting here thinking while you were talking about this, I was sitting there thinking, does the enemy know me? And I think that that's also relevant.
Amen.
Because there are like over 7 billion people on the planet and it's expanding every single day. Does the devil know your name today? Does he know your name today? And if he knows your name, it is because you are this massive threat to his kingdom of darkness. And so it's not only about you know, the fact of like we're trying to do all these things. It's like, does the devil really know my name? Because the enemy was hard against Yeshua always. The enemy was hard against the apostles always. He was hard against, you know, the very first believers. He's hard against all of us. And so when, you know, as we always say, when you're doing the right thing in Yahweh's kingdom, the enemy is going to come hard against you and things are going to start to happen. But that's not when we lose faith or lose hope. That's when we push forward and then we can turn around and be like, listen, dude, I know you know my name, but I live in an inheritance covenant with Messiah Yeshua, so you get lost, you know?
You know, Leah, you said something so important. And if you think about, you know, for example, you take the United States and you take a country like North Korea, for example. Continually, we just saw it the other day, I was watching a documentary, but continually, there is continuous spy missions being run over those nations continually. And you know, the best defense is to know your enemy. The best attacking strategy is to know as much as you can about your enemy. Attack from within. That's the whole old way that it used to be done. So if the enemy can know whose is the Father's, then the attack is upon them. And that's why, brothers and sisters, Yahweh is saying to his remnant, go through the wilderness, endure those trials, endure the suffering, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will have the mark, the seal upon you, and the enemy will know who you are, but my protection will be upon you, and I will be with you.
And you know, to add to that, I remember when I was newly saved. When I was newly saved, I think the Father was just teaching me so many, many big things that just really changed my life. And I remember when I was newly saved, I was reading about Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth was like this wow dude to me, because he like prayed for like 8 people and they got raised from the dead. And there was a story that I read about him that he had written in his diary, and he said that he was sleeping and one night he woke up and the devil, the actual devil, not like a demon or a bad spirit, but the actual devil was standing at the edge of his bed. And he looked up and he saw him standing there and he said, oh, it's only you. And he rolled over and he went back to sleep. And I thought to myself, like, wow, what did I do in that situation? Imagine if, you know what, it wasn't because it was just like, oh, whatever. It was because that guy knew who he was in Yeshua. I mean, to pray for people and to see them resurrected from the dead, that's really got to build your faith to a whole nother level. And you know what, that just takes you from faith to faith, strength to strength. And it just moves you. And imagine if we could be so know who we are in Yeshua. And I believe that if that had happened to Peter, John, or James, they would have had probably the same reality of being like, you actually have no power over me. Yeah. And that's the whole reality, of that when you really part, like you said, when you're really a son or a daughter, when you really live in that inheritance covenant and you've been through the wilderness and you've been cleansed out, and it's not about you're dying to yourself daily, and you're walking with the power and authority of Yeshua, you will be a threat to the enemy, but it won't be that important, because you will know that like you are a nuclear missile and you carry power within you, so you don't need to worry about anything else. And you know, Yosef, the whole day today while we were preparing for this coffee break, and I was praying and asking the Father, what is it that, you know, you really have in your heart this evening? I know it's about Yom Teruah, and Yom Teruah, I'm so excited because the festivals just really make me excited. And added to that, I really feel excited when I get to share any festival with people, you know, with the believers. And I just feel like, even though, you know, we're always so far apart on the coffee break, sometimes we just always feel so near, and that's such a comfort. But you know what? The Father has laid 2 words on my heart that that, friends, I really, really need to give to you this evening. And the one word that he keeps laying over and over on my heart and in my mind and in my spirit, even way before we did the coffee break and continually while we were doing the coffee break, it was like the Father was saying to me, hey, don't forget this. Don't forget this. Nah, Aliyah, don't forget this. I need to say the word, and the word is miracles. Mm-hmm. The Father is saying to me that, to say to you that, that this season that we are going to enter in, and I'm not just saying this because I'm very careful about what I say when I say, you know, the Father is saying this. I'm very careful about that. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm not just going to say that unless I fully believe that that is truth. But the Father is saying that this season that we are going in, he wants to do miracles for us. This is a miracle season that he is saying that he wants to do miracles. And you know, just last week when we were together on the coffee break, praying about the fires that were happening and Yeshua shifted the wind, praying for Sister Liana's, her grandson, she's with us on the coffee break this evening, praying for him who was in the hospital with an unknown infection. And then the very next day, right, Joseph, just the doctor saying, didn't know what was wrong with him, but he's okay, he can go.
I want to actually ask Sister Liana if I'm allowed to just post what she said today, yeah, so that people can read it, if she allows. If she says it's okay, just type it there for me.
And you know, just that healing, and a few weeks ago or a little bit ago, we know that Sister Ariella was on the coffee break with us, and they had this cat that was dying, and we all prayed together, and this cat's resurrected and is still living. We are in a season of miracles, and today the Father was reminding me, I was just standing, I was just looking outside, and he reminded me of something that happened on Pesach in 2014. And he just really laid it on my heart to just share it with you all. So I in Passover 2014, I went and I was asked to minister at a very small woman's, it's a very small little poor town, and of these amazing women. And I went to go and minister the word, and I was still trying to figure out, I was still just trying to figure out, you know, myself as ministering the word. And I remember just knowing that the Father wanted us to pray. So I called all these women that wanted to come forward, and there was a little old lady that came. She didn't even speak the same language as me, and I prayed for her. And I don't know what I prayed for, but I just known that after the meeting, the lady that had organized the meeting told me that this beautiful old lady that was standing in front of me, her husband was a truck driver, and unfortunately, he came back home to where she was living, and she got infected with HIV. Mm. And she, at that time when I saw her and prayed for her, already had AIDS. And it was by no fault of her own, and she was dying. And I don't know what I said to her, but I just know that I was praying. And a few months later, the lady then contacted me again and said to me, Aliyah, Sister so-and-so is in the hospital, and her liver has stopped working, and she's not eating, and she's passing away. So she said, but we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to pray. So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Now, as a human beings, we need to understand that there is no cure for AIDS and there is no cure for HIV. You know, antiretrovirals, I trained as an HIV AIDS counselor. I know all about that stuff. It just prolongs life, but it can't save life. So anyway, this sister was passing away, and she actually went into a coma, and she had stopped eating, and parts of her body, you know, the organs just shut down one by one. And so this lady I knew, they went to the hospital to kind of say their final goodbyes. But as they were standing there, they just said a final prayer for her, and obviously she wasn't responsive, and they left. They didn't hear anything back, and they went back to the hospital the next day. Well, you know what happened? When they walked into the hospital room, the sister Helena, was her name, was sitting up and she was eating. And they were all like, what is going on? And the doctor came and he said he doesn't know what is going on. But the sister is alive, and she wasn't eating, and her liver started working, and all these organs of hers started to work. And they did a test in her blood, and they said it was a total miracle. And they did a test in her blood, and they found no AIDS. So they did another test, and they said they don't know what happened. And this lady phoned me and said that Sister Helena doesn't have AIDS. And you know what? That was over 4 years ago. And a month ago, I remembered Yahweh was reminding me of this. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard for us to believe big things like this because we think to ourselves, you know what? Yahweh's healed someone of AIDS? I mean, that's not exactly going to make the front page headlines. And I sent this lady a message a month ago. I said, hi, Sister Helena. And she sent me a message back and said, Sister Eliana is really great. And she continually goes for tests because the doctors make her go. And still to this day, she has no AIDS. And you know what? Yahweh can heal. And Yahweh does these amazing things. I believe that He is saying, and what the Father is saying to me today to say to you, that I'm trying not to get too emotional about, is that now is the season for miracles. And in your life and in my life and in our lives, He wants to do the things that we are secretly holding in our hearts. And that he sees those things that's in our hearts. And He sees that we are longing for Him to do those miracles in our lives, in our families, and in big things that we have been longing for such a long time. And the Father's really saying to me, it's because of His love. And He's given me a scripture here that I want to share with you. And it's in Matthew 11, verse 28. And it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am humble in my heart. And you will find here so much rest for your soul." And the Father just reminded me again, Yeshua just reminded me that He is gentle. He's not hard, and he's not hard on you. And sometimes we are hard on ourselves, and sometimes we're like, oh, we should be doing better here, and we should get this right, and we should do this, and we shouldn't still be struggling with this, and it shouldn't be. But Yeshua said, and He said it to me, and He's saying it to you, that I am gentle and I'm humble in spirit, and that's how I am, and I'm gentle. And to, you know, the world has so little gentleness in it. We live in a hard world where everyone is hard, and everyone is got the answer, and everyone is just so mean, and you know, even when you drive on the road, everyone's just nasty and in a rush and hard, and people aren't kind anymore. But Yeshua is saying that I'm gentle. And you know, whatever that means to you, whatever gentleness looks like to you today, it could look like a person, or it could feel like something, but it really is beautiful. And Yeshua is saying that I am gentle. He's not that God that's like banging us over the head with a stone, saying you've got to get everything right, and I'm not going to do this for you because your life is still a mess or whatever. He's saying that I see into your heart, and I love, and I'm always loving, and I'm always, always kind, and I'm always gentle, and I'm humble in spirit. And so what He's saying to me, and what He's saying to you, and is that we must believe now in this season, in these festivals of Yom Teruah and of Yom Kippur even, and of Sukkot even, that, you know what, this is our season of miracles, and we need to believe that. And I want to believe that because I have need of miracles, and I want to believe that. And even if we have small faith this evening, I pray that we will receive our miracles, not because, you know, it's not a name and a claim, because He says that I love you, and because you are seeking for me and you are searching for me with your whole heart, and I'm gentle and I'm loving, and I want to do this because I love you, and because you mean that much to me. So I pray, I really pray that we will believe for all of our miracles, and no matter for who it is or for what it is, but that it will become our reality in our lives. And so, Yosef, I don't know if you would like to add anything, or if we're going to go to our next song.
I didn't know. I thought you said you had two words, and you said one of them only.
It was miracles and love.
Love. Praise Yahweh. You know, Aaliyah, I'm so excited because I really truly do believe that the Father has a season of great miracles. And, you know, as we were speaking just previously, I was reminded of the scripture that says that all creation eagerly waits with eager anticipation for the sons and daughters of righteousness to be revealed. And I really do believe that the Father wants to heal, that he wants to wrap His arms around us and love us, and that through His body, through His children, that He wants to reveal His power and His majesty, and that He wants to do miracles. He wants to do miracles like it was in the book of Acts. And, you know, we read Acts and we think to ourselves, hey, but it's, you know, from chapter 1 to wherever it runs to, I can't even remember. But, and then we think, okay, well, that's the end of the Acts of the apostles or of the disciples. But that's not true. And we must have faith and believe that we are going to move into a season of miracles where there will be more written and more put down about the acts of the faithful and the acts of the righteous. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, like we played a song a couple of weeks ago, where in the song it says that, you know, let us wait and let us be with eager anticipation for things like healings and things like that, where people, the lame will walk, the blind will see. That's my heart's desire, brothers and sisters, so that people out there that do not believe that this Elohim that we serve is Elohim will know that, hey, you know what, there really truly is a God, a real living Elohim. And that's my prayer.
And you know, even as hard as it was for me, I've seen a lot of things in my life, but it was still hard for my mind to sort of grasp that Yahweh had healed this lady from AIDS that I had to check up a month ago and be like, how is she really doing? And you know, just the same, 4 years. And it was a testimony to me because I was part of it in such a small way that, you know, I didn't even know she had AIDS. And that day when I prayed for her, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't used to ministering in that way before. And I just, I don't know what I even prayed for, but I know that lady shared with me that, you know, Sister Elena wanted me to say thank you to you, Aaliyah, because the Father spoke through you and he said to her that she would actually go through a very hard time and that things would get very, very hard and that it would be almost at the end and then he would turn it around. And I don't remember, I know I don't remember saying that, but I know that really blessed me because in some way I really felt like I was part of that and to witness that. And she was such a beautiful lady and to just know, you know, the reason why I remembered this a month ago was because a friend of ours shared that someone they know is infected with AIDS and not of their own. You know, there's all these things that happen and I just remembered that. And yeah, it's like you said, can we believe? And I remember when I was first saved, how I used to drive down the road and see blind people begging. And you know me, I can't see blind people. When I see blind people, I just lose my mind. I just cry like a baby. I can't, even when I see a blind person in the shop, you know, like Yosef, kind of like steers me in opposite direction. And I used to, I cry when I see blind people. And I don't know why, but I always used to cry out to Father and say, why can't I just pray for that person to be healed? Why can't I see them healed? And the Father said to me, you will, we will see those things happen. And it's not always incumbent upon our faith. Yes, we must have faith, but sometimes it's just incumbent upon because that's what Yahweh's going to do. I don't know if any of us believe that Sister Elena would be healed of AIDS, you know, but Yahweh did it anyway because of his love. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not hanging on who we are, but it hangs on who he is. And that is why he will do the miracle for us. And so this evening, you know, we're going to be going to a song and we're also going to be asking for some prayer requests. Not so, is it?
If you have prayer requests, please put your prayer requests down as we play the song. And, you know, as Aaliyah said, it's about being in the right place at the right time and having just the faith to know that all you have to do is be there. Be there, open your mouth, pray for somebody, and Yahweh will do the rest. That's what he wants us to do. And I believe we're moving into a time now, like Aaliyah said, great miracles, because there will be great men and women of faith that Yahweh will use, just as in the days of old. So this evening we have a song that we want to play by Paul Wilbur, and the words of this song go so well with what we've been speaking, and it's called The Great I Am. And my prayer for you as you listen to the song is that you will know that Yahweh is who he says he is, that he is faithful and just, and that he is the Great I Am. So please enjoy it. Yeah.
run and flee.
At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. 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 The great I am.
Thank you so much for the joy and the grace of your presence. And we thank you so much for your spirit that gives us life and comfort and just brings us into your presence. Yeshua, we just want to praise you this evening. We want to glorify you and honor you for your word. We pray that, Father, your word will just bring truth into our hearts and will be like a seed that, Father, is sown in good soil, Father, that it will take root, Father, and bear fruit within us, Father. I pray that we will remain in you, Yeshua, so that we can bear much fruit for you and for your kingdom, so that others can eat of that fruit, Father. And I pray this evening for Kelly, for Bracha's friend, Father, In the same vein that Bracha will be able to bring forth fruit that Kelly can eat from, Father, and that she'll be able to see, Father, the good things that you are doing in Bracha's life. Father, I pray for Kelly that she will continue to be blessed in the work that she does, in the art that she does, Father, in the ways that she wants to help through that. But Father, that you'll also open up her mind and her thoughts, Father, to your roots, Father, your Hebrew roots, the ancient past, Father, that she will ask for those ancient paths, and that she will ask for it, and that she will find it, Father, and that she will be able to walk in those ancient paths of truth, worshiping you, Yeshua, the one true Elohim. And I pray for that, Father. I pray for an expanding of Kelly's mindset and an expanding of her heart. And Father, just a revealing of your deep truth into her heart and into her life, Father. And I thank you for that. And I pray that Bracha will be sensitive and discerning, Father, by your spirit, Father, to love her, Father, and to share when it is your will and in your timing. And I thank you for that. And Father, this evening, I want to pray over every single person that has joined this evening, no matter what they're going through, Father, no matter if they're lifting up their hands in joy or they've got a head bowed down in somewhat of a despair tonight, Father, I just want to lift each one of them up. And just pray, Father, that your joy and that your goodness will just be manifest, Father, in their lives and in their hearts, Father, and in the season, Father. I pray that they will meet you in a new way and that things will turn around, Father, for their lives. I thank you for this, Father. I pray your blessing over all of us tonight. And I just thank you for that, Father. We praise you and we praise you and we bring you glory and we bring you praise continually. Yeshua Mashiach, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Father, tonight we just want to lift up Michaela to you too, Father, and we think of her this evening. And I want to pray, Father, as we have seen so many miracles taking place, Father, on this coffee break, Father, when people bring their requests to you, Father, I believe that you honor them, and Father, that you see the requests of your people. And Father, this evening we want to pray, Father, for a complete and utter freedom, Father, and deliverance in her life. We want to pray, Father, that she will come out of the places of darkness, Father, the places of hurt, the places of despair, the places, Father, of destruction, Father, the places of pain, Yahweh. And Father, that you will bring her back into your arms, Yahweh, that she will know that she is fearfully and wonderfully made, Father, that you created her in her mother's womb from the very beginning, and Yahweh, that you, Father, have a great plan for her life. We speak freedom over her tonight, Father. We speak deliverance. And we ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will never leave her nor forsake her. We pray, Father, that as Sudi and her husband continue to pray, Father, for her, Yahweh, that there will be a change, that there will be, Father, a commitment, Father, and that there will be a heart broken and restored, Father, by your power and by your glory. I also want to pray, Father, for both Sudi and her husband, Father, in this time, Yahweh, that you will give them discernment, that you will give them the heart, Father, for this child, Father, and that they will know, Yahweh, how to be led, Father, by your Spirit, what to say, what not to say, how to say it, Father. And Father, it's not easy, but Yahweh, we know that this road and this journey, Father, has been a tough one. But we pray, Yahweh, that there will come complete restoration, as we know, Father, that you work, Father, in a time that sometimes is far beyond our comprehension. But yet, Father, in all things, you are always on time, and we thank you for that. So, Father, I pray blessing, as Aaliyah said, over each and every person that has joined us. Father, we thank you for the good reports that have come back this week too, Father. We thank you that you are moving, and Father, that you are speaking. And Yahweh, as we are scattered abroad, but yet as we enter in to celebrate these festivals, Father, I pray that we will be united, Father, as the body of Messiah Yeshua, through Yeshua. And Father, that you will do great and wonderful things among us in the weeks and the days that lie ahead. We thank you for this, Father, and we bless you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be together tonight, and we just really want to pray that you will have a blessed Shavua Tov. And when Yom Teruah finally dawns on us, probably tomorrow evening, I pray that you will just be blessed as you enter into that feast and as you just feast of Yeshua's grace and his presence and his goodness. So thank you for joining us. Tonight we're going to play out with a song that I absolutely love, Kadosh Ata by Joshua Aaron. It is a fabulous song. I love it. May it bless you. We pray that you will have a great week. We're so blessed that we were together this evening. I wish the coffee break could go on forever.
Also, please note that there will be no coffee break next week, Sunday, as we will be away for Leah's book launch.
Woo-hoo.
And so there will be no coffee break next week. But we'll let you know when we are back on air again. It should be the following week. We'll send out an email and we'll just remind everybody again. Also, always remember that we do put on top of the website notifications that allow you to know when we are there or when we are not there. So if ever you see that we are not on the coffee break, just check those notifications and then you'll know.
Yeah, but it will be only be next week that we won't be there. That's because right. We will be at the launch and we will be recording the launch so that we can share the wonderful day with you.
Amen.
All. So Shavua Tov, see you soon and be good. Shalom, shalom.
לפניך אני משתחווה על ברכי נותן לך סמכות על כל ימי אהלל אותך נצח כי אתה אדוני אתה לבדך ישוע שמחת חיי קדוש 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 אתה קדוש קדוש אתה קדוש 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 אתה קדוש קדוש אתה Before you, Lord, I'm down on my knees Giving you all my days My God, my King I will praise you forever, Lord For you are Adonai You alone, Yeshua Are the joy of my life
Kadosh, 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 Kadosh,